The word of the Lord was rare, and visions were not widespread. That is how our reading will begin today. The narrative lectionary drops us into Israel's story long after the wilderness years that we have been in the past 2 weeks. In the wilderness, the word of the Lord was constant. God's presence was visible, a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. God was central to the Hebrew people's life together. But once they settled in the promised land, life became more stable. The tabernacle was placed in Shiloh, and a permanent structure was built around it. God remained amid and with the people, but for most, out of sight became out of mind. The book of Judges ends with the words, "Everyone did what was right in their own sight." This was not harmonious freedom, it was chaos. Corruption ran rampant, distrust permeated the social fabric. Even in Shiloh among the priests, the word of God was rarely heard. Eli, the high priest and judge in Shiloh, once heard a woman come to the temple pouring her heart out to God, and he just assumed she was drunk. It took him time to recognize the cries of a desperate woman actually coming to God with faith. Now that woman, Hannah, became the mother of Samuel, and Samuel was dedicated to the Lord, and as a young child, lived in the temple, learning from Eli. But even Eli's household was not immune from corruption. His sons, who were sort of priests in training at the time, used their position for greed and exploitation. Eli knew this, and he tried to stop them once. But then, when it didn't work, he looked away. He was good-hearted but ineffectual, well-meaning but unwilling to risk his own comfort to fully tell the truth. So perhaps the word of the Lord was not so rare, and perhaps visions had not faded, but the people and their leaders were just not listening or looking. But then one night, a young boy named Samuel was startled awake by a voice, and he startled the rest of ancient Israel with him. God is still speaking, so will we listen? Will you please join me in prayer? Holy God, in a world where so many voices compete for our attention, we pause now to listen for yours, the voice that calls us by name, the word that brings truth to light, the spirit that makes us a people worthy of trust. Open our hearts that your word might take root in us and bear fruit in our lives. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your living word to us. Amen. Scripture this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if God calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. on that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house will not be expiated by sacrifice or by offering forever. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What is it that God told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me, all of what God told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let God do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Samuel was a young boy, maybe around 11, 12. He grew up in the temple, and like many of the kids that you'll see here on a Wednesday night, kind of speed walking through the halls to get to their classrooms, Samuel was comfortable in the sacred space. So comfortable that he slept next to the Ark of the Covenant, the very dwelling place of God. Now in Leviticus, only the high priest was supposed to enter that space, and only once a year after undergoing purification on the Day of Atonement. Yet there was Samuel, sleeping peacefully. The word of the Lord was rare and visions were unheard of, and so Samuel did not yet know a God of power, but he seemed to intuitively know a God of peace. In the stillness of the night, a voice called to him, "Samuel," and he kept showing up at Eli's side. Now, if you've ever lived with children, you've experienced what Eli is experiencing, of a child showing up at your bedside and startled, half asleep, just you saying, "Go back to bed." This happens 3 times until finally Eli realizes that God might be calling to the boy. And so he tells Samuel, "Go back and lie down. And if you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.'" God is still speaking. Will we listen? About 10 years ago, there was an NFL press conference that went viral. Marshawn Lynch sat at a table surrounded by cameras and microphones and reporters, and for every question that was asked of him, he responded the same way: "I am here so I don't get fined. I am here so I don't get fined." There is a difference between active participation and passive presence. God's call demanded an active response. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." The temple was there, but what difference did it make in the chaos and corruption around it? The priests were present to God, but they were colluding with abuse or were quietly resigned to it. God's word was calling out, but until someone would earnestly listen, it fell to the ground. But the young Samuel woke up, and he listened. This is often where the story ends. When I've done Bible studies, when I've preached on this from the Revised Common Lectionary, this is the cutoff point. And before this week, I could have told you exactly what Samuel said to God, but I would have been hard-pressed to remember what God then said back to Samuel. And what God says is not comforting. It is a message of accountability for Eli. God revealed that Eli's sons had abused their sacred trust and that Eli had failed to stop them. It does not matter that this behavior was the norm. God does not turn a blind eye. God is persistent in the call that God's people use their power and position to serve, not to swindle, to benefit the least, not to fill their own bellies and bank accounts. Eli's family lineage as priests would come to an end. God would raise new leadership, a pure heart from outside this old system. Samuel lay awake with this until morning. Have you ever felt that kind of heartbreak? When someone you respected, even loved, fell from the pedestal you had placed them on. God awakened Samuel to the depth of injustice around him that was closer to him than he imagined. And injustice often doesn't look like active harm. It can look like passive silence. Eli was not cruel. He was complacent. And in the quiet, harm flourished even in God's temple. And yet, Eli, in the end, lends Samuel courage, telling him, "Do not hide God's word from me." He teaches the boy what he himself could not live out, to be trustworthy, to tell the truth even when it's hard. God is still speaking. Will we listen? Several years ago, I served a church with an incredible group of middle school and high school students. They were courageous and compassionate, and they were leading the adults by the ways that they served others. It's not unlike our youth here. Now, these students had built credibility with the congregation by sharing their experiences of God and their hearts for outreach. In 2018, after the Parkland school shooting, students from across the country organized a march for our lives. All of our youths wanted to be involved, and they wanted the church's blessing. They weren't pushing a political platform, they were pleading with adults to protect them. They spoke truth to our leadership that this violence, the fear that they had going to school, the lack of control they felt as teenagers who were unable to yet vote while lawmakers did little to nothing, was wrong. Not everyone in our congregation would have agreed with the demands of the march organizers, but a majority agreed that we had trusted the hearts, the words, and the actions of these students and of their leaders. And so with some discomfort, our church leadership said, "Okay, we will not support a particular candidate or party, but we believe in God's call to protect the vulnerable, to stand with the brokenhearted, and to listen to these voices among us that we don't often center." As the Jerusalem Council declared once in the book of Acts, it seemed right to the Holy Spirit and to us. The courage to listen to hard truth, even when it unsettles us, that's what makes a community worthy of trust. The community of Westminster has lived out this calling as well. We have left the comfort of the status quo to speak truth that seemed right to the Holy Spirit and to us, blessing Reverend Dr. Galbraith back when he went to march in Selma. We began including women at all levels of leadership. We began officiating weddings of same-sex couples and recognizing and affirming the call of our LGBTQ members who are elders and deacons. We began worshiping with guitars and drums downstairs. And we have tried to speak clearly against violence, no matter who perpetuates it and whom it is against. We have waited, listening for God's Spirit, and then acted, respecting dissent, but moving forward in faith. God is still speaking. We, God's servants, are trying to listen. It is when we step out in faith, in courage, in boldness to proclaim the truth that we have heard, that we, like Samuel, become worthy of the trust of the people. Public trust in institutions is and has remained for a while at historic lows. Gallup reports that about 36% of people say they trust the church. Now look, we are doing better than Congress and the Supreme Court right now, but I don't know if that's the bar to measure by. People assume corruption and self-preservation as the norm for most institutions. The church, like the temple in Samuel's time, has not been immune. But God is not silent. God still calls people like Samuel and like us to earnestly seek and speak God's vision for the world. What we do here is not about passive presence. It's about being a people who listen and then act. After the resurrection in John's gospel account, Jesus came to his disciples. He met them with peace, and then he breathed the Holy Spirit into them. That same Spirit that spoke to Samuel in the tabernacle dwells within us. That same breath of God that called a child to speak truth to power still calls us to be worthy of trust. That same Spirit speaks to and through the church. And so, people of God, what will we say about the political violence that's becoming commonplace, about the harassment and abuse of our immigrant neighbors, about the divisive and dehumanizing rhetoric that comes from the top, about greed and corruption, about the daunting challenges that we're handing off to the next generation? And what will we say about our own fears that we hold on to, about those who do not look or think or act like us, about the ways that we have chosen comfort over God's calling? The world does not need a silent church. It needs a trustworthy one, a church that knows both the peace and power of God's word, a church that is willing to step out in faith even when it is risky, even when we don't all agree, because we believe that God's Spirit really does dwell among us and is doing something here. God is still speaking. Will we? Amen.